their face. Should I be inquired of? Should I be inquired of it all by them? Then look down at verse 6. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. The question that he asked to start off with was, do I depend on God for my happiness? Do I depend on God for my happiness? Now, it seems for a Christian, and it seems for a preacher, someone in my circumstance, that I would depend on God for my happiness. But it's very easy to fall into a pattern of depending on things other than God for your satisfaction. He gave us a definition of an idol. This is not an all-encompassing definition, but he gave us a definition of an idol. It's something that replaces God's provision in my life. God provides all we need, but we turn to other things to meet the needs that God wants to meet. This is an idol. And then he asked the question, and this is what really got me. What do we turn to when we get under deep stress? Because we'll find a lot of times that thing is an idol of our heart. You've heard somebody use the phrase comfort food before. So comfort food is something that you turn to when you need comfort, when things are going wrong. I found out that I have some comfort idols in my life. Things that I turn to instead of turning to God for my happiness and for the provision of what I need, instead of depending on Him, I turn to these things. One thing that the Lord fingered in my life is surfing the internet, news sites, AJC.com, sports sites. But what will happen a lot of times is whether I'm at work or if I'm at home or something, if I get in a spot and I've just gone through something really difficult, I'll say, you know what? I just need a break. I need to unwind a little bit. Instead of depending on the Lord at that point, I'll go and do that thing. Now, this is not something that's inherently wrong, but what happens is I do it a lot. And at that point, I'm not depending on God, and I'm not walking with Him and looking to Him for the peace and joy that He will provide. So I've asked God to show me the idols of my heart, whether it's that one or whether it's other ones. And I've asked Him to show me those things, and I'm going to depend on Him. And by His grace, we're going to take care of those. Now, I know that some of these young people have testimonies that might be similar, but listen to them. Pray for them, because God is working in their lives. I can tell it. If God could start with the lives of these young people and then move into our lives, start taking the idols out of our hearts, I think we would see the mighty movement of God's Spirit that we've been praying for. So who's first this evening? All right. Jason. This is Jason Dyer.
Hi, nice to meet you. God really spoke to my heart through Brother Dupe. In fact, I felt He really read my mail. It's because a lot of things He talked about were just, I mean, it was just like, yep, I've done that. Yep, that's me. Uh-huh. And especially the idols part, you know, Matt was saying basically what God convicted me about things like that. Like, what do I turn to for my happiness before God, you know, which is sin. And it's like, it's almost just, you know, that's the definition of why things go bad in our lives, you know. And he said something that really jumped out at me, and he said, God tolerates no rivals. And he also said, God isn't obligated to answer when I'm loyal to other gods. And I felt a lack of power in my life and lack of answer to prayer. And I just, you know, I said, that's probably what it is, you know, I'm too selfish and I'm too pleasure-centered instead of God-focused, and that's something I need to change, and I'd like your prayers for that. Other things he talked about idols is that they could be inherently good, you know, and this is something I knew, but, you know, it's just, you know, I need to be refreshed on it. You know, an idol doesn't have to be something that's evil, like cheating on tests, lust, or lying. It could be, you know, he named stuff like children, you know, his wife. He named all sorts of things that, you know, God commands us to love, you know. But when it comes above Him, that's when it's wrong. And I know there's things in my life like that that are not necessarily wrong, but are wrong when I place them above Him. And I know I've been doing that. So I wish for your prayers there. He also talked about comparative sins. So how many of y'all have been in this situation? Because I know I have. Like the excuses you give, like everybody else is doing it, you know. So why can't I? And like the biggest one was speeding, you know. So everybody does that, and I know I have. I've been guilty of it, and you know, just things like, you know, God, he said, God looks at all sin the same way, you know, and it's like, duh, I know this. But, you know, that's even when I say stuff like, you know, we see these murderers or, you know, people who do really bad things on TV, and it's, oh, I hope they get punished for what they did. You know, they deserve it, you know. And then I might tell a little white lie, or I might, you know, get a little bit angry. You know what God says? He says, you're a murderer. You're the same thing as a murderer when you did that, because that sin is the exact same. And so, you know, I'm guilty of comparing my sin to others, because, but when God sees it, the same. So that really jumped out at me also. So pray for me in that, you know. Just other things here that, you know, that I resolved to change through his help. I wish you'd pray for me. But a little bit of encouragement he gave is he was talking about one night about forgiveness is with what I would classify the theme of the message. And he just said something that was really encouraging to my heart. And how many times have you been going through a trial and wondered, what have I done? You know, what sin am I being judged for? But you know what? He said, every time a trial occurs, it does not mean God is coming down on you for it. And it's like, I just started thinking about that. And I said, well, that's a relief, because, you know, usually I'll, you know, something will go wrong. I said, okay, yeah, this is probably why it's happening. I'm sorry, God, for that. I'm sorry. Please help my car to start, you know, stuff like that. But I just found that very encouraging. It was one of the best speakers I've ever heard. And I do wish for your prayers and changing things about myself that God pointed out to me. Thank you.
Come on up, Allie. Jason was talking about the comparative sins that we look down on murderers, but we tolerate the small sins in our life. The principle that he gave behind that is James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend it in one point, he is guilty of all. Allie?
Like they both said, Brother Brian was amazing, one of the best speakers we ever had there. And he was crazy. He's a crazy man, but he knows how to get the point across and just hit you with what God has to say. And he knocked me down the very first night with that message on idols. And he said that when we put something in the place of God, not necessarily even above him, but like on the same playing field, on the same shelf, that we put God. And it can be something good, or it can even be something you don't like school. Like lately, I've been trying to finish up my associate's degree and trying to get a job, and I figured this is like what I went through in my mind. It's something I need to do. I have to do it. So if I have to get up earlier to study for a final or something, it's okay to just kind of put my devotions to the side. And it's definitely not, because he said it's false worship because they replace my God. And like Jay said, God tolerates no rivals. And when he isn't obligated to answer me if I put something in the place of him. And he is my Lord and Savior, and he should have first place in everything. So just pray for me that I would put him first and that he would be my God in everything.
I'm saying the names into the microphone so it'll be clear if anybody listens on the internet later on. This is Justin Clark.
As Matt just said, I'm Justin Clark. Just a little bit, my Lord's called me to preach, as most of y'all know, for y'all that don't, call me to preach, and most recently call me to be a missionary. And the thing that really spoke to me this week is something really spoke. I've been praying before this that the Lord really just show me where my weaknesses are, where I need to work on. And the Lord spoke to me each night, but the most was this morning when he was talking about the love of God. And he spoke through it throughout the week, but just how he was talking about sometimes when he was growing as a young preacher and how he would use, he'd go and, I think it might have been when he was talking about the idols, he was listening to different sermons and different this, and sometimes it would take the place of reading his Bible. And how it really convicted me, because I'll get up in the morning, I'm a very lazy person, I'll get up at 7:45 and be to work by 8 and just, you know, I have a MP3 player, and I'll just listen to my sermons and my songs and use that as my devotional. You know, I'm listening to sermons. It's got to be, you know, instead of reading my Bible, and I would never get really. And then what really hit me is when he was talking about when his wife most recently had a operation coming up, and how he was just sitting there how she was taking it very well, and he was sitting on the bed, edge of the bed, just crying like a baby, and how he was just sitting there talking with God and telling God, you know, you're going to have to do something. I can't make it without her. And just telling God how utterly, you know, how helpless he was without his wife and how he couldn't. And he said it's like God came down and sat on the bed with him and told him that, why can't you just love me like that? You know, why can't you love me like you do your wife that you couldn't? And it really hit me because I've preached a lot of times in junior church. I've taught my Sunday school class, and, you know, most of the times Jake and Michelle are down there knocking their heads trying to get them to stay awake. And, you know, I get done and I was like, okay, well, I preached. And, you know, it didn't really affect me that nothing happened, that they, you know, that wasn't, you know, that didn't fill the Spirit with me. And it just, this week it really, you know, hit me real hard that I don't have the love of God like I should. I've been asking advice about, with Brother Brandon about what I need to be doing in the meantime while I'm going through college to be a missionary, and just what I need to be preparing. And one of the things he pointed out to me this week that, you know, Brandon told me that being getting along with people is a very important part of the ministry because you have to be a people person. But, and I've been wondering how I'm real good talking about, I'm real good talker. I'm, you know, not real shy. But Lord really convicted me, until I can love him, how am I going to love those people in a foreign country? How am I going to have the love for him if I don't even have the love for God? And he just really convicted me this week about how I don't love him like I should, and I don't have the love of God in my life like I should. And I really prayed this morning. He was talking about just the attributes of God and the and just how you can, you know, you look out at the wilds out of the lodge and you can just see all the trees and stuff and just all God's creation and how it, you know, all the creation glorifies God. And I was sitting out there during our God and I time, and I was sitting out there on the bench and just, you know, I didn't close my eyes or anything. I was just standing out there looking over the mountains and just asking the Lord, you know, you're going to have to change my heart because I can't, you know. And I was just amazed at how, you know, I was listening. I had that sermon, you know, him preaching in my head and just hearing how and just thinking of all the wonderful things that God had created and just, you know, how I didn't, you know, he did all this for us. He died for us on the cross, and I can't even give him, you know, I can't wake up in the morning. I, you know, keep from mashing the snooze in the morning and get up and read his word and how, you know, that big of a sacrifice that he made for us, a sinner, and how I can't sacrifice a couple minutes of my morning, of my precious sleep time. And he just really convicted me that I don't have the love of, that I should of him. So if y'all could pray that I would have the love of God like I should.
Amen. Thank you, Justin. What are you passionate about? Come on up, David. What are you passionate about? The things that you are passionate about usually tell you where your priorities are and maybe even point to where some idols are in your life. The things that you are passionate about, the things you think about all the time. It's one of the things that he talked with us about. David?
Well, my name is David Jemanski, and it's amazing how the Lord can use the same sermon and the same truth to speak to people different ways. What Justin was just talking about there, the love of God, that comes from, it's from Mark chapter 12. A scribe had come to Jesus and he asked him what the greatest commandment was. And Jesus answered and said, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, they asked us, challenged us to go out for our God and I time and to meditate on this particular passage and to ask the Spirit to show us if we were doing this and how we were not doing this. So I was sitting out there. The Lord gave me several things in my mind. You know, I tend to be overly critical of people, even very critical many times. to speak down to people. I focus on myself too much. I struggle with soul winning. There's just a lot of different issues that he brought to my mind. But the one thing I think that he pointed out is that it all goes back to one thing. It's, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That means that there's no room for me in there. And that has been probably, I think, my biggest struggle, is that I'm a proud person. God has helped me in many ways, but it's still there. And if y'all would pray for me, that he would deliver me from that, I would really appreciate it.
Amen. Thank you for that. Who's next? Come on up, Benjamin. We'll do Lori next so that she can come back downstairs. This is Benjamin Seymour.
Hey. One thing I actually learned was from my God and I time that we had, and it wasn't from reading the Bible, but from just praying with God, and I was, you know, praying, and then just realized that, you know, when I pray with God, all I do is just ask Him for stuff, and then I thank Him for it. And, you know, if a son goes to his father and just asks him something and thanks him for it, there's no relationship right there. And I realized, you know, that's why I don't have the relationship I have with God, and that's all I do is just ask Him and thank Him for stuff. And then, you know, I just started talking to Him about the things going on in my life and, you know, problems I have and stuff, and you know, I just really felt close to God then, and you know, I realized that's what's been going on with my life. Well, I don't have the relationship that I needed. And so, you know, that's what I came away with, and I just thank God that He showed that to me. And so, just pray for me.
Amen. You know what? I think that was profoundly simple. Just ask and thank Him. Never talk to Him. Anyone here ever fall into that pattern? My hand's up. It's easy to do. Come on up, Lori. This is Lori Hayes.
Okay, one of the things that really stuck out to me was the first night he was talking about idols, and you've heard a lot of that already, but what he started out with was that God's Word is not an exposition of, for me to decide about. God's Word is truth, whether we like it or not, whether we take it or not. And that was something that was really profound. And it's stuff that I knew, but it wasn't something, it was one of those things where I'm like, well, you know, I know this is sin, but I think I can brush this off this one time or whatever. And that's, you know, that got into the taking sin or trading sin for sin. And but the first night I was thinking, he said, what is the thing that you run to? And I kept thinking, I don't know what I run to when there's a crisis. Later on, talking to a friend of mine, I said, you know, most of the time I turn inward, I get really quiet, which is not like me. I'm naturally an outgoing person. And so I don't know what it is that I run to. But it wasn't until that he was concluding the sermon that he gave the story about his wife. It could have died, and it was just really bad, and he was really upset. And God came and said, I wish you loved me like you love her. And I'm like, that's got to be my idol, because people have to be my idol, because I love people more than I love God. And so I just ask that you would pray for me about that.
Very easy trap to fall into. Who's next? This is Shaughnessy Busey.
Okay. The speaker was really good this week, like everybody said. Mine's a lot like a lot of other people's with the idols and everything, and he asked us what fulfilled our happiness. And mine, I guess since me and Lori have a lot of the same personality, mine was the same thing. The people that I care about is what I run to for happiness. If I've had a bad day or whatever, it's like, oh, well, if I get to go hang out with them, you know, they'll make me laugh and I'll be fine and everything. And so that's what I always ran to. And, you know, he said that your idol wasn't always something bad. It was something that started out as good. And there's nothing wrong with caring about your friends and wanting to be with them. But when I let them replace God, instead of being like, well, you know, let me go talk to God about this, I'd be like, oh, well, let me go talk to somebody else about this. And get my happiness through them. If y'all could just pray for me in this series, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Shaughnessy. All right, I see a few more folks up here. This is Lisa Jemanski.
God really challenged me to love Him with everything this weekend. When he asked that question Friday night, what do you run to when you're in deep stress? I knew I don't run to God. I run to other things. And I realized that I'd been blaming part of that on my personality. Like, I do this because this is just the way I am. But through the first and second messages, he showed me that I can't blame things on my personality. And that I've been making some things idols and just blaming it on that. And some other things were sin, and I was just blaming it on that. The other thing this morning, he was speaking about loving God with all our heart. And he said that it's impossible to have a right relationship with God without a right realization of who he is. And I've thought that I know who God is, but he showed me that I don't know as well as I thought I did. And during my God and I time this morning, I was just asking God, okay, what does it look like to love you with everything I've got? And he pointed out to me something that I really love doing. Like at the Wilds, they have all these sports that you can do, and I really love those. And God showed me that I get into those with everything I've got. I give my best for those. I'm willing to get beat up and bruised for those. And he just wants me to be willing to do the same for him.
Good. Amen. Who's next? Amanda? This is Amanda Puckett.
Hey. Before we went to the Wilds, I heard something on the internet about how God wants us to not only change sinful habits, but we're supposed to turn away from our sin, not just to stop doing them, but to not look at them or not, you know, just, I guess, just not loving them. And anyway, I kind of heard a little bit of that at the Wilds. And basically the thing that I learned most was that, like Lisa said, I don't know God as well as I should. And so I don't love him as well as I should. And so a love for God doesn't motivate what I do. So, I mean, that would really help in turning away from sinful habits as well as just stopping doing them. And sorry, I've got a really messy paper, but I just want to know God better, and I need to be learning more about him by being in the word more and not making sleep my idol, or not making just prioritizing my time and not making everything else idols other than getting my devotions in. And so if y'all would just pray for me that I would know God better and learn about him more, and so that I would love him, so that that would change all of the sin issues and turning away and all that good stuff, basically.
Amen. If there's someone else in a life purpose class, it looks like we have one more here, and you feel the Lord's led you to say something, come on up. This is Jenny Gardner.
First of all, I want to thank those who helped me out financially to be able to go, because I was actually planning on not even going, and I would have gotten nothing, because out of every message that he preached, I got something, every single one. And like Matt said, the first one was, do you depend on God for your happiness? And I don't. I run to friends or reading. That's the main thing, is just reading. I'll just go and hide away and read something. And I want to depend on God more. And if I need happiness, I want to go to him first. And he'll supply that. The second one was, the message was called Trading Sin for Sin. And he asked, is it acceptable for me to sin the lesser sin? Like do something small instead of big. But all sin is equal. There's not a small one. There's not a big one. They're all the same. And how I look at sin will also impact my life. And I need to look at sin in a different way than I have been. And I also learned about forgiveness. He taught about forgiveness, and I'm not good at forgiving. It's just not good at it. I just hold it for years. If somebody hurts me, and I've had that happen a lot, and I still hold on to it. And finally this weekend, I let all of it go, all of the anger. I have been holding anger since the first time I can remember was 8 years old. And I still remember what that person did to me. And I just let it go and just forgave them. And if Joseph can do that, if Joseph can just be sold into slavery by his brothers and forgive them and not even just worry about or be angry, I could do the same thing. And also, when I sin, I keep going back and asking God for forgiveness. The first time, I don't believe that He forgives me. I go over and over and over again, please forgive me for this one thing, and just keep going. And we don't have to do that. God doesn't have to re-forgive us. The first time we go and ask for forgiveness, He's already forgiven us even before we go and ask for forgiveness. Yes. And also, even just sitting right there, God convicted me of something that Benjamin said that I didn't write it down either. About my prayer life. I go and all I do is ask. But I do something worse than that. I don't even thank Him for it. My prayer life is all about asking. I never thank Him. I never praise Him or do anything. It's just all about me and what I want. And I want to change that. And then I do have one praise that took place this weekend. Last week, I went up and asked for prayer about devotions, and I wanted to find something good to read. I finally found something this weekend at the Wilds. It was a devotional, and it was actually a devotional that we used to use in God and I time, at least when we went with the teens. And I started it the very first night, and I enjoyed it ever since then. I got something out of every single page that I read, every passage, and I'm hoping that it continues that way and that I can keep that up so people just pray for me.
Amen. You know, in times past where we've had the Lord move in our services, we've had people pray for someone when they would stand and ask for prayer about that particular thing. And we haven't done that here tonight, but I would like to call on someone. Brother Charles, I'm going to ask you here in just a moment if you would stand and as the Lord leads you to pray for these particular areas. You don't necessarily have to pray for each person in particular, but you've heard the struggles that they and that that we're struggling with now. And so if you would stand and lead us in that, and what we'll do after you finish praying is we'll turn it back over to the pastor at that point. So Brother Charles, if you would cry out to the Lord on behalf of these for us, please.